The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 401 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter, TheSportsRPT. Well, we absolutely got nailed by a blizzard over the weekend. Unbelievable. Where I live, I'm about an hour outside of Philadelphia. We had 30 inches of snow. Thank goodness that my neighbor has a snowblower, or I would still be digging my way out. And I had to get back to work. When you're in the radio business, you know, the radio never shuts off. You got to get to work. So I had to dig out. My back is absolutely killing me. It feels like King Kong Bundy jumped on my lower back right now, or an elephant stomped on me. Shoveling, more shoveling. Watch some football, run out at halftime, shovel some more. Game ends, shovel some more. I still gotta do some more shoveling today. But thank goodness, whoever invented the snowblower, they get a free pass right to heaven. I mean, open the pearly gates. What an invention. Thank goodness for that. We got 2.5 feet of snow, one of the biggest storms ever to hit this area. After 4 years up at Syracuse University, I've seen enough snow for a lifetime. If I don't see another flake, another flurry, I will be a happy camper. I got to figure out some way to win the lottery. Powerball, Mega Millions, whatever, and move out to San Diego. That's what I need to do. This storm was brutal. Anyway, we have a lot to talk about. In-depth recaps of the AFC and NFC championship games. I'll take you through all the big plays, all the key drives, the big players in the matchups. One was an instant classic. The other was a donkey kicking. Plus, huge news from the NBA. David Blatt gets the axe in Cleveland. How about that? Tyronn Lue is now in control of LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin, and the Cavaliers. So we have a lot to talk about, and you can always hit me up on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Thanks to those of you who congratulated me on 400 podcasts. Last week was episode number 400. I appreciate that. Keep the 5-star reviews coming in the podcast section of iTunes. That helps to promote the show. And again, I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. We'll get to the AFC Championship game first. New England at Denver. Brady versus Manning for the 17th time. Brady had won 11 of the previous 16. But first, I have to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. From the portable color-changing IBT-74 to the 100% waterproof, how neat is that, IBN-6. iHome has all your Bluetooth needs covered, from Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers. iHome gives you great value and exceptional quality. iHome offers a full line of headphones, earbuds, if you're a fitness guru, if you travel a lot, or you just like hanging out and relaxing, they're perfect for you. You can also look at their apps and accessories on the website, iHomeAudio.com. iHome is the number one brand when it comes to digital speakers. So take a look at the website and all of their products. The sound quality cannot be beat. One more time, that is iHomeAudio.com. All right, let's get cranked up here on episode number 401 of the Sports Report podcast. So much to talk about. in the world of football. Peyton Manning threw an out to Emmanuel Sanders for a first down on the Broncos' opening drive, and I thought that was a good sign for Peyton and company. That is not an easy pass. That's a pass that you use to judge a lot of college quarterbacks at the combine when they're getting ready for the NFL. Can they throw that out? And Denver came out throwing. They put together a terrific drive, capped by a touchdown pass to the tight end Owen Daniels, who was wide open over the middle. The Patriots were confused. It was an easy pitch and catch. Denver went 83 yards, and there were a lot of questions about the Broncos' offense coming in. We all know that. To go up 7-0 midway through the first quarter had to give them an emotional lift, some added confidence. Danny Amendola had a nifty 28-yard punt return to give New England good field position at their 40. I said last week that having Amendola and Gronkowski back makes the Patriots a much, much more dangerous team. They weren't the same without those two guys. Brady was sacked by Wolf on third and long, so the Patriots wasted the good punt return and the good field position. Denver's defense was getting the best of them early and often. More on that. The defense is legit in Denver. Number one versus the pass and number one overall. Then a huge turnover by the Broncos late in the first quarter. Somewhat controversial play. Peyton, who had a really good first quarter, he was 7 of 10. Last week, just too many drops. But he threw a backwards pass to Hillman, who could not make the catch, and then compounded the mistake by just letting the ball go. If it's backwards, that is a live football. And Ronnie Hillman quit on the play. Just stopped playing. Patriots recovered, and after a challenge and a review, the officials changed the call on the field. It was a little bit of a surprise to me, but they changed it and gave New England the football at the 22-yard line. A couple plays later, veteran running back Steven Jackson, who they dusted off and picked up, he crashes into the end zone for New England's first score. However, Steven Guskowski missed the extra point wide right. He had not missed one all season, and I'll have much more on that coming up. So after the first quarter, it was 7-6 Denver. Another big turnover early in the second quarter. Brady never saw Von Miller drop into coverage, and how good was he? 2.5 sacks on the day and the interception. Miller picked off Brady, who was looking for Gronk. Denver took over at the 16-yard line. So Patriots got a short field. Now the Broncos get a short field. Could they cash in? On first down, Manning overthrew Sanders on what should have been a touchdown. But on third down, he found Daniels down the right sideline for another touchdown. Nice double move. And it was 14-6. Daniels beat Jamie Collins easily for the score. And it was all set up by Miller's interception, just the second of his career. So each team turned a turnover into a touchdown. Neither team could run the ball at all. The longest run was an 11-yard scramble by Brady early in the game, and that was on a third down, and it was a key play. It set up a 46-yard field goal by Guskowski, so he misses the extra point, comes back, and makes a 46-yarder. That got New England within 14-9 midway through the second quarter. Is it just me, or does time stand still when Tom Brady runs? I mean, the game all of a sudden is in super slow-mo, like a movie or a video game when you put it in slow motion. Brady got picked off again with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. He never throws interceptions. He had two in the first half, got hit by Malik Jackson right as he threw, landed hard on his left shoulder. Darian Stewart, the safety, got the interception. Denver's pass rush was very effective, and that was a huge storyline in this game. You can't sit back and let Brady pick you apart. If you give him time, you're done for. And they got pressure. The Broncos could not move the ball, though, after that pick. Good stand by New England's defense. Denver got it back with a 1:45 left and a timeout at their 44-yard line, a chance to tack on another score. Brandon McManus had a 52-yard field goal attempt, and he drilled it with 30 seconds to play before halftime, 17-9 Denver. Pats just took a knee. They were only down 8, and their offense did not look sharp at all. So it probably could have been worse than 17-9 for New England. Denver punted on its first drive of the third quarter. Brady had Gronk for a 31-yard gain. Couple short passes after that led to a 38-yard field goal by Gostkowski. New England trails 17-12. And that's how they went to the fourth. This was a hard-nosed defensive battle, a good game. Finally, we got a big play in the running game. C.J. Anderson took it 30 yards to the New England 22-yard line. And then on third and two, Peyton hit Sanders on a slant for a first down at the 10. Kept the drive alive. On third down, Manning missed Jordan Norwood, who was open behind the defense for what could have been a gigantic touchdown. Denver got a field goal, but instead of 20-12, it could have been 24-12 with 10 minutes remaining. And with the way the Broncos are playing defense, that may have ended the game. Peyton just put too much air on that pass because Norwood was open. A golden opportunity to go up 2 scores, give yourself a little breathing room. On the ensuing drive, a helmet-to-helmet hit gave the Pats 15 yards. It was a good call. The fans in Denver were booing, but they were wrong. It was definitely a helmet-to-helmet hit. On third and 10, Brady threw a strike to Edelman for a first down with 7 minutes left. That was a big play. And then decision time for Bill Belichick. Fourth and one at the 21-yard line, 6 minutes to go. He went for it. They ran a play-action pass. Chris Harris read it perfectly and made the tackle immediately on Edelman. The Patriots turned it over on downs, a big-time defensive play by Harris. And I don't fault Belichick at all for going for it there. If you take the field goal, it only makes it 20-15. You're still down 5. Plus, Denver's defense is playing so well, you may not get another shot down there. I should note, Brady missed on a couple of deep balls to James White down the right sideline, and they could have been big gainers, and White was open. Denver then goes 3 and out, so Brady gets the ball back, 4.5 minutes to play. Brady connected with Gronk over the middle for a big gain inside Denver's 30. Everybody knows that this guy is getting the football, and teams still cannot stop him. That is the sign of a great player. Then a dump off to White got New England to the 9. A false start pushed the Patriots back 5 yards. 3rd and 6, Amendola could not hold on over the middle. Would have been a first down. The Broncos, not the Patriots, but the Broncos actually challenged the call. They thought it was a fumble. The call stood, though, as an incomplete pass. On 4th and 6, Brady throws a jump ball from the 14-yard line looking for Gronk back in the end zone. He was surrounded by not one, not two, but 3 Broncos, including Aqib Talib. Gronk wanted a call there. I didn't think it was a penalty. I thought it was a good no call. It's a jump ball into a triple team. You're not going to get that. Brady was once again under pressure on that pass attempt, and that was the theme all day long. Denver goes 3 and out. Edelman returned the punt to midfield. New England has a timeout with 2 minutes to go. I mean, you can't write a better script. What drama. I didn't have a horse in the race. I just wanted a close game, and we certainly got it. I mean, this was a beauty. Brady down 8 points at the 50-yard line versus the number one defense in the league on the road. The winner goes to the Super Bowl. The loser is done. You had to love this. On first down, Brady's deep ball's incomplete. Second and third down, Denver got to him, and he just had to throw it away. He avoided a lot of sacks here by just throwing it away. On fourth down, this is it. Brady lofts a gorgeous ball over the middle to Gronk for a first down at the 10-yard line. Gronk beat double coverage for 40 yards. Wow, what a play. Edelman then caught a short pass and took it to the 4-yard line. On third down, Brady was nearly sacked again. He just threw it away. So, here we go again. Fourth and goal. 17 seconds left. This is it. One play for the AFC Championship. Or could we possibly have overtime? Brady found, you guessed it, Gronkowski again. He beat another double team for a touchdown. When Brady released it, Gronk didn't look open at all, but he fought his way back. He made the catch. Now, New England needed a two-point conversion because of that missed extra point early in the game. So, Brady rolls to his right. His pass is tipped by Tlaib and picked off by Roby, and that is that. Brady was trying to go to Edelman, not Gronk, but Edelman short over the middle. Key deflection by Tlaib and an easy pick by Bradley Roby, who should have just gone down. I don't know what this guy's thinking. Tried to return it, actually fumbled it, but it didn't go anywhere. So 12 seconds left. Denver recovers the onside kick. 20-18, Broncos win. What a nail-biter. Instant classic. Great game. I think greats overused a lot. This was a great game. Absolutely. Broncos and Peyton Manning are headed to Super Bowl 50. Not many people picked them, but they got it done. And no disrespect to Peyton at all. He is a Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the best ever. But this was about Denver's defense, first and foremost, not the offense. The Broncos were in Brady's face all day. New England's offensive line has been banged up all season. They've used a bazillion different lineups, and they simply could not protect Brady on Sunday. Miller, Ware, Jackson, Wolf, everybody up front for Denver got pressure on Tom Brady. He finished 27 of 56. You don't see him under 50% too often. 310 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. He was sacked four times. That doesn't tell the whole story. He was hit a lot more than four times. And by the way, he led New England in rushing yards with all of 13. Tom Brady, the leading rusher. And they've had other games this year where they just have no run game at all. They just throw it every down. A Manning 17 to 32, a 176. So not huge numbers. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. And as far as the comparison, Peyton now holds a 3-2 edge over Brady in their head-to-head playoff meetings. Peyton is 39 years old. He's going to his fourth Super Bowl. The Sheriff is 1-2 in Super Bowls. Will this be the last ride for the Sheriff? I just hope it's not another massacre like 2 years ago versus Seattle. I hate when the Super Bowl is a blowout. It is the worst. Give me a close game, and I'm a happy guy. Again, I have no horse in the race. Not a Denver fan. Not a Carolina fan. I just want to see a close game. I want to get back to the missed extra point. Gostkowski had made an NFL record. 523 consecutive extra points. 523. His only other miss was in 2006, and that one was blocked. He has been automatic, but he missed this one right. Anywho, I don't like the rule change because A, who cares about the extra point? Just leave it alone. And B, do you really want a game decided by a missed extra point? For that reason, I never liked the rule change moving the kick back. And now this happens, and I like the rule change even less. A great game like this should not be decided by a missed extra point. Tweet me your thoughts. Maybe you disagree. That's fine. Maybe you like this new rule. I don't. What's interesting is Belichick was one of the coaches who pushed for it. Sometimes it's best to just leave things alone. You heard the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Did they really need to mess around with the extra point? Was it that big of an issue? I didn't think so. And my fear was that you could have a game, and I wasn't thinking AFC Championship, but you could have a game determined by a miss, and then you have to go for two. And, you know, I'd rather see it play out differently. But, hey, it was an unbelievable game. Very entertaining, very exciting. Came down to the wire. Your thoughts, welcome on Twitter at the Sports RPT. This is episode number 401 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Paul Roberts here on grizzlyproductions.tv and again on iTunes. All right, to the NFC Championship game, Arizona, Carolina, tough to top that AFC game. I like Carolina at home. Didn't think the Cardinals played great last week. Cardinals went nowhere on their opening possession. The Panthers got a 45-yard field goal from Graham Gano on their first drive. They're off and running. Cam Newton, 4 of 5 for 35 yards on that drive, and he hooked up with four different players. So a nice start for Cam. I was curious to see how Carson Palmer would perform. He was not good at all last week, had a couple of interceptions, could have had more, but because Arizona won, none of the national media bobbleheads were really talking about Palmer, and now he's facing a much better defense than Green Bay. That was all about the Hail Mary and overtime, and he gets the one completion to Fitzgerald, and he takes it all the way, but I didn't think Palmer played well in that game. Ted Ginn, you know how fast this guy is, sprinter speed. He had a 33-yard punt return to set up Carolina at Arizona's 49-yard line. Then on 3rd and 2, Newton completed an out to Greg Olsen, his favorite target and one of the elite tight ends in the NFL. Then Ron Rivera went into his old bag of tricks and he came out looking pretty darn good. Cam Newton gave it to Ted Ginn on reverse to the left. Ginn cut all the way back across the field and ended up in the end zone for the game's first touchdown and a 10-0 lead 10 and a half minutes into the game. It was a 22-yard run by Ginn. I don't know how much ground he covered because he went left, back, right. He covered the whole field twice. And who is as explosive as this guy? I mean, you just can't teach his type of speed. We all saw how Carolina jumped all over Seattle last week, right? If you're a Cardinals fan, you could not have liked how this one started. With a minute left in the first quarter, Newton fired a laser beam to Corey Brown on a post. Rashad Johnson missed the tackle, and Brown raced 86 yards for the touchdown. That was a 3rd and 8 play. Demoralizing for Arizona. You think you're getting off the field. It's only 10-0. Instead, not only don't you get the stop, it goes the other way for a score. It's now 17-0. The place is rocking. Cam had a ton of time in the pocket on that throw, and Johnson just looked silly as Brown made him whiff on the tackle before he took it to the house. So 3 possessions, 3 scores for Carolina. Here we go again. Keep in mind, Carolina has been doing all of this without Kelvin Benjamin, who is their number one wide receiver and a big target. Out of Florida State, a good target in the red zone, too. Palmer then got drilled by Kawan Short, who is a stud on that Panthers D-line. Carson fumbled. Carolina took over at the 38 early in the second quarter. Miserable start for Palmer. David Johnson, who was a third-round pick from Northern Iowa, had some real nice runs for the Cardinals. Finally, their offense got going midway through the second quarter. A Panthers Pro Bowl linebacker, Thomas Davis, got hurt on this drive. He suffered a broken right arm, but he says that he is going to play in the Super Bowl. He had surgery on Monday. That'd be a tremendous story. You feel for this guy. He's had so many injuries over his career. Palmer on that drive also was able to get into a little bit of a rhythm. He has plenty of weapons. I mean, they have one of the top wide receiver units in the entire league. And Johnson, who's a big back, rumbled in from a yard out to cap a great drive by Arizona. They absolutely needed it. They had to stop the bleeding. 10 plays, 79 yards, 6 minutes. And now it's 17-7 with 5:45 to go in the first half. So we got a ball game here. 10 points. Patrick Peterson, and this might have been the biggest play of the game, he comes racing up on the dead run to try and field a punt, and he muffs it. Carolina gets the ball back at Arizona's 46-yard line. It was a very short punt. He could have just got out of the way, let it bounce, would have been good field position, tries to make something special happen, and just when the Cardinals had showed a pulse, they cough up the football. On the very next play, Peterson held Ginn for a penalty, and then Jonathan Stewart found a hole up the gut to the 24. They went right back to Stewart, who got all the way down to the 1. At the 2-minute warning, Newton dives over the top on 3rd and goal, stretched the ball across, touchdown, points off of a turnover for Carolina, 24-7 now, with 1:56 remaining in the half. That, to me, was the biggest turning point of the game. On first down, Palmer then got stripped by Charles Johnson. The Panthers recovered at the 31. Another Arizona turnover, their third. But Cam Newton had a bad overthrow to Ed Dixon that was picked by Peterson. He returned it all the way down to the 22. A 72-yard return by Peterson. But, and this is a Fat Albert size, but on the next play, Palmer went for it all and got intercepted by Kurt Coleman. Nice leaping pick by Coleman, but I have no clue what Carson was looking at there. He had no shot to try and squeeze that football into the window. Big mistake, took points off the board. 24-7 Panthers at halftime. 4 turnovers for Arizona. It's the number one stat, whether it's high school, college, NFL. You turn it over, you lose. Carolina has been a poor second half team, but Newton comes out, hits Olsen for 29 yards to open the third quarter. Then the big guy, Mike Tolbert, love watching him play. He caught a pass out in the flat, moved the chains. That was a 3rd and 2. Cam really spreads the football around. Fullback, running back, tight end, wide receivers, gets everyone into the act. After a sack on 2nd and goal, Carolina settled for a 21-yard field goal, so it's 27-7, 8 minutes to go, 3rd quarter. Ginn ran an out and up for a 39-yard gain to Arizona's 38-yard line. What an impact Ginn had in this game. Devin Funchess then got in the mix with a catch to the 23. And on 3rd and 10, Newton ran for the first down, just powered his way to move the chains. They played the Superman theme song in the stadium, which I thought was funny. The next play, Newton ends up in the end zone on a designed quarterback run. Great blocking, had a convoy out in front of him. And Cam dives into the end zone. I don't really think that he needed to, but he gets in there. Fans love it. 34-7, 2 minutes to go in the 3rd quarter. I expected a closer game. Again, I picked Carolina. I expected a closer game. Arizona's a really good team, and they just got dismantled. 34-7 going to the 4th quarter. Palmer threw a 21-yard touchdown pass to Darren Fells, a tight end, just 45 seconds into the 4th quarter. J.J. Nelson ran in the 2-point conversion. Now it's 34-15. That was an 80-yard drive for Arizona. Kurt Coleman, and this guy, I follow the Eagles very, very closely. My radio station carries the Eagles, talk about them year-round. This guy was torched in Philly. I mean, fans just ripped him, and now he's like an all-pro player. He got another interception, 10 minutes to go. It's an amazing turnaround. He's become one of the league leaders in interceptions. I mean, he could not cover anybody. He could not catch a cold in Philly in the winter, and now he's making interceptions left and right. Panthers go right down the field. Olsen had a big gain. Newton ran for first down. Then he tossed a touchdown pass to Funchess with 5.5 minutes to go. Tolbert added the 2-point conversion catch for a 42-15 lead, just pouring it on, making it look easy. This was a Carolina clinic. So we got one close game on Sunday. And oh, by the way, the Panthers weren't done scoring there. Luke Kuechly had a 21-yard pick six, made it 49-15, and that was the final score. Kuechly's a beast on defense. I think Kuechly and J.J. Watt, probably the two best defensive players in the game. If you want to throw somebody else in there, go ahead on Twitter, at the Sports RPT. Do you put any other defensive players higher than Kuechly and J.J. Watt? Carson Palmer threw another interception with 4.5 minutes left, his fourth. He also lost two fumbles in the game, so he's 23 of 40, 235, a quarterback rating of 43. A nightmare for Palmer. 7 turnovers in all for Arizona, 6 of them by Palmer. He also was under pressure, similar to Brady. Really remarkable to me how much Cam Newton has improved and also how much he's matured. I give the guy a ton of credit because I was not always a believer. I admit that. I didn't think he was a great pocket passer. He forced the issue at times early in his career, did not handle losing well at all. I didn't think he was a good teammate, didn't say the right things. Now, he's a really good leader. He's having fun out there. He's enjoying himself. And you can't argue with the results on the field. Sunday, he was 19 of 28, 335 yards, a lot of big plays in there. 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, plus 2 rushing touchdowns. And I love when he gives the football to the kids in the stands after he scores. That is really, really cool. The kids love it. It's like Santa Claus handing out presents to them. It's a great scene. So Carolina and Denver, Super Bowl 50. You know, I always like to see what they're doing out in the desert. Carolina is the favorite. It opened at 5.5 at the Westgate Superbook. That, to me, seemed high. Other books in Las Vegas had the line at 4 points. The over-under is 44.5. The favorite has won 32 of the previous 49 Super Bowls. That is 65%. Last year, take a guess how much money was bet on the Super Bowl. And I'm talking legit sports books in Las Vegas, not the guy around the corner. $116 million was bet on just the Super Bowl. So if you have an early prediction, let me know on Twitter. We still have a lot of time. You got 2 weeks. But I'm on Twitter at the Sports RPT. If you absolutely have to give me a prediction now, feel free on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Carolina, about a 4-point favorite. The total in the game is 44.5. This is episode number 401 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv. New shows every Monday. We're within the podcast section of iTunes. Keep those 5-star reviews coming there. All right, let's talk some hoops. We go to the NBA, and a lot of people were shocked that Cavaliers head coach David Blatt got canned. Cleveland was 30-11, the best record in the Eastern Conference. Blatt is only in his second season. The Cavs did get to the NBA Finals last season, and they were shorthanded and lost to a great Warriors squad led by Steph Curry, who is phenomenal. I understand why a lot of coaches are outraged. I saw comments on Twitter from different coaches, and they're saying, hey, look at this guy's record, and he gets fired. What does that mean for the rest of us, if that's what general managers are thinking? But to be honest, I wasn't that surprised. I really wasn't. I never got a good vibe between Blatt and his players, including LeBron. It seemed awkward, not natural, uncomfortable. I mean, you could tell there was some friction there or just the absence of a true bond. And I'm not saying that players always need to love their head coach. I'm not saying that at all. But this just seemed awkward. David Griffin is the general manager in Cleveland, and he made the move, said he did not consult LeBron. Here's what he said, quote, "Sometimes you can win games in this league in the regular season and get worse. We were regressing over a period of time. I'm in our locker room a lot, and I knew there's just a disconnect there right now. There's a lack of spirit and connectedness that I just could not accept. And frankly, halfway through the season, I think we have the time to right the ship. I know that sounds crazy when we're sitting with a 30-11 record. I understand that. But we were 30-11 with a schedule that was reasonably easy. And I'm judging a lot more than wins and losses. This is my decision. This is our basketball staff's decision. I'm not taking a poll. My job is to lead a franchise and to lead an organization to where it needs to go. I'm in the locker room. I've done this for a long time, and I know what it's supposed to feel like. I did not need to ask questions, end quote. Griffin did meet with owner Dan Gilbert, who supported the move. They have fired three coaches in four seasons. To me, the loss at home to Golden State was the last straw. 132-98. I mean, that was a behind the woodshed butt whooping right there. A total embarrassment at home for the Cavaliers in a finals rematch. So moving forward, Tyronn Lue takes over. He was the associate head coach, a former player in the NBA, well liked. Players clearly have a better connection with him. Although I was laughing Saturday night because after his debut, his first game, they lose by 13 to Chicago. Bulls played really well Saturday. Right after that game, he called out his stars and said they weren't in good enough shape to run his up-tempo offense. How about Tyronn Lue getting right to work? Calling them out. Says get in shape. He wants to play faster. I understand that. He also wants to get Kevin Love more involved around the elbow area, which I think is a smart move. He should not just be a standstill three-point shooter. I mean, Kevin Love's too good to say, hey, go stand in the corner and shoot threes. But the question to you, again, I really wasn't that surprised. And it's a players' league. I mean, that's what this is going to come down to. And I don't know that the Cavaliers are on the same level as Golden State or the Spurs. You may have some other teams out there. I mean, look what Golden State did to them just last week, 132-98 in Cleveland. I mean, give me a break. But do you think this was a smart move by David Griffin and the Cavaliers? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. Wow, what a show. Conference Championship Sunday. AFC, Brady and Manning going toe-to-toe, maybe for the last time. Cam Newton rises to the top in the NFC, and one of the high-profile coaches in the NBA, gone. So you can comment on all of it on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Thanks again, everybody. I'm going to try and get some rest. My back is killing me after shoveling all weekend. Hopefully you're doing all right. Let me know what you're thinking about the world of sports as opposed to shoveling on Twitter at the Sports RPT. And I'll talk to you again next Monday. This has been episode number 401. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.